I am so thrilled that with the reluctant permission of my husband, Brad, I'm going to do what I call my happy dance. Are you ready for this?
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot. Yeah, this is what I see. Everybody stops and is staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Infotainment. I will be your host for all the fun festivities and frivolity that my regular listeners have come to love. And this is the last stop podcast shop, that is for sure. I want everyone to get excited for listening to this program. George Takei, not Takei, as he has stated, has expressed his excitement for this, for listening to this program, and I want you to. And I'd like to welcome all my listeners from the UK and the United States to this program. Well, let's hit the ground running. I have a little throat condition. That's why my voice may sound a little different from what you normally expect from this program. So I sounded a little more like Barry White. Right now, I'm going to talk to you Apple iPhone users. How do you feel about being screwed over by Apple? For those of you who don't have the iPhone X and have older versions that got old batteries that cause your phones to slow down over time, so you would feel like you had to upgrade to the latest model. I guess Apple now faces a total of 32 class action lawsuits. That might have increased by quite a few in the U.S. for slowing down iPhones with older batteries without telling users. Dozens of law firms in the U.S. have filed suits seeking damages on behalf of iPhone owners, with potential suits brewing in France, Australia, Canada, and South Korea. As reported by Patently Apple, this week alone, five U.S. law firms filed separate iPhone slowdown class actions, including one from Hagens Berman, the firm behind the case that ended with Apple paying a $450 million fine over ebook price fixing. One of two suits filed on Wednesday in San Jose City's six causes of action, including fraudulent conduct, unfair conduct, trespassing to chattels, breach of implied duty, and breach of covenant of good faith and fair dealing. Trespass to chattels or physically meddling with someone else's property without permission was expanded to include proximate interference with computer networks in lawsuits against spammers in the 1990s. In the suit filed in San Jose this week, San Jose, got a beef with them over my Podomatic stats. They seem to want to visit my site without actually listening to anything. And all they show up is in my stats is as a visit, which doesn't really count for anything. And I do not understand why. I've asked customer service there, but kind of get a half-assed answer. It doesn't really explain anything. They say, well, are you located in the Bay Area? Sometimes this blah, blah, blah. No, I'm from Minnesota, and I do not. It must be a bot or some sort of crap like that. But lawyers contend that Apple software updates were a trespass of chattels, since the updates interfered with iPhoners' devices, which degraded their performance and utility. Apple intentionally pushed iOS updates, including but not limited to iOS 10 and 11 and their variants, despite knowing that the updates impose performance demands that the phone's hardware could not meet, throttling the phone's performance and otherwise negatively impacted the performance and utility of the phones, the lawyers argue. As a direct and proximate result of Apple's interference with their iPhones, plaintiffs in the class suffered injury, including that their iPhones suffered a permanent long-term degradation in performance, utility, condition, quality, and value. As a result, plaintiffs and/or class members were required and induced to purchase new iPhones and/or new batteries to their detriment and Apple's benefit. Several other lawsuits similarly argue that Apple's updates amounted to the trespass to chattels. I don't quite understand the word chattels as far as Apple speak goes, but defendant Apple intentionally interfered with and committed trespassing to plaintiffs' putative class members' property, i.e. their iPhones, by installing performance throttling software on their phones without their knowledge. Hagens Berman writes in its suit, because Apple did not inform them of or seek their consent to installation of performance throttling software when presenting them with the iOS 10.2.1 or 11.2 updates, or both of them, plaintiff and the putative class members did not consent to Apple's interference. The Wall Street Journal this week reported that Senator John Thune, chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, has asked Apple how it decided to throttle iPhone performance, while a French prosecutor has reportedly launched a preliminary investigation over the issue. And I know some people always lorded it over me. Oh, you should get Apple. They're so great. And blah, blah, blah. Now I don't feel so bad that I have. Just have a puny Samsung Galaxy 7, which at the time I thought was expensive. But then I saw what the iPhone 10 was coming out as retail. Over $1,000 if you get any with tax, I think. And then if you add on accessories, major expense there. You got to really love your smartphone to pay that much for a phone. I would wait a few years and then get it if you still want it. What does it have that Android doesn't have already? I read an article, I don't remember the specifics of it, but most of what Apple contends is a significant thing Android already has. Except the face recognition. I have the thumbprint thing on my start, but then I still have to do the damn little drawing of the dots to get into stuff. Your thumbprint should access everything. Once you do that thumbprint, you should just be able to be on your home screen, be able to use your phone. That's the way things are going. Passwords are a pain in the ass. And they should be phased out where everything is available through a thumbprint or a retina scan. And once you do that, you should just automatically be in your computer and nobody can get into it. And it's a pain in the ass to keep track of passwords. I dearly know that because of a Gmail account too many. Losing all the information for it because of several moves I made. Finally, I got it back for some unknown reason. I don't know what happened there, but it's amazing what you can do with some stuff will work on different browsers and other stuff will work on another browser. It should all work the same. And then I was using Internet Explorer, Microsoft Edge, I'm not sure which. I finally switched it default to Microsoft Explorer. And Netflix and Amazon Prime would not load properly. And I will say one thing about Amazon and Netflix. If you type in Amazon customer service phone number or Netflix customer service phone number, they come up right away, which is more than I can say for Facebook and Google. And it has reducing ads and the number of all the Facebook accounts is a really good thing. They'll probably just be moved off to the right. Supposedly he's lost a ton of money by announcing this deal with the Facebook news feed. But you might want to invest in a customer service department where you can actually talk to a real person and they should know their stuff. I've talked to too many customer service agents that, oh, can you hold on a minute? I got to check with my supervisor. Oh, can you hold on a minute? And then just getting to them, getting through the menus. They should have a number right up front that says, I'm taking you to a customer service representative so you can get things straightened out. All these help functions are good, but, well, actually not so good. They kind of clog up your phone calls. I will say this, that the speakerphone has made that a lot more convenient as far as waiting while the elevator music plays while you're waiting for someone to respond to your phone call. And that makes that easier. And they always say, oh, you are a valued customer of ours, so please continue to hold. Well, if I was a valued customer, I'd have my phone call answered right away. You'd have enough people on staff to handle the phone load. And I'm sure Facebook and Google could do that. Not all questions can be answered by those help functions. And there are people that have questions that are a little more advanced and need to talk to somebody. They should have their customer service phone numbers available. And actually have a customer service department besides their help functions, or increase the number of operators and make that phone number readily available on the first page of Facebook and Google. Maybe they are. I just haven't been looking in the right places. I don't know. Right now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Golden Globe Awards thing that was on TV. I'm going to catch some hell for this, but I'm going to say this. Everyone's fawning over Oprah's address to the hypocritical crowd. Let's face it, Oprah could have got up there and said, eat shit and die, and people would have been tearing up and clapping. And then now there's Seal coming out, the singer, and saying that Oprah knew about Harvey Weinstein's behavior a long time ago. So where was she then? And a lot of people joked. I even seen Gwyneth Paltrow and David Letterman joke about his behavior. I don't know. And then these guys that wore these Time's Up pins, you know, like James Franco. What an idiot. If you did those things to those women and you wore that button, you are a fucking moron. It's just so hypocritical. And how many women have kept quiet because they knew their careers would be over if they exposed them? Wouldn't it be more important to protect future potential victims? I guess you got to do what you got to do. You put up with that old, what do you call somebody like Harvey Weinstein that's negative enough? I mean, this is a scumbag, dirtbag, pond scum. Fucktard. I don't know. But maybe getting hit over the head with a potted plant. And Matt Lauer, too, having his secret James Bond button to lock his door. Now, how many heads are going to roll over that one? There's got to be people that knew about that going on. Some of these people did it. They got these women alone and going up to these guys' rooms are going to their houses, like Charlie Rose, who'd prance around naked around these women. Well, hopefully some of these people are going to prison for a long time. I guess it just took one of the charmed ones to kind of bust this thing wide open. And I'm not going to, if what the women that, of course there's some of these women that, like going after Bill Cosby, they're just after a money grab there. But the ones that are true, I'm not going to give you a pass because you're old and still making jokes in this last little video clip. I saw him coming out of a restaurant and he was making jokes, and all he said about his upcoming trial was, oh, we're ready. And when you do a show that's supposed to promote family values like The Cosby Show, and then this comes out, maybe it's just them trying to make amends for their past. Maybe they think it's, I don't know what the reasoning is there. You know, and these guys, I mean, like James Franco, he could probably go to any flipping high-class lounge in the Hollywood area or New York, Miami, wherever in Europe, and have women practically throw their panties at him just because of who he is. And, I mean, why do you have to resort to, like, physical abuse to get a sexual favor, pushing a woman's head down for oral sex? Yeah, it's just everyone's eating themselves alive out there. You know, and the one I kind of questioned was, I didn't realize this, but I just learned the other day that Garrison Keillor was fired from NPR for putting his hand on a back of a woman he was consoling for some reason. I don't know what that was about. He made the mistake of apologizing to it twice. Both times he said, oh, nothing. She said, oh, nothing's wrong. Don't worry about it. And she, after he apologized twice, well, maybe there is something there. I can go after it, some of his money. If that's all he did, I don't, well, NPR being as having their nose up in the air about everything they do. Well, maybe they just wanted an excuse. Well, not an excuse. He's been there a long time, and anything inappropriate, I don't get for that one. And then Liam Neeson coming out and about Dustin Hoffman grabbing women's breasts and stuff when they're doing plays and stuff. Oh, we're like family. We pulled jokes on everybody. And I don't know. I like the movie Taken. Maybe you should make it just another Taken without the family type thing and do one that's a little different. It's just, these people should just stick to acting. Leave the women and... Leave the women alone, unless they want to be with you, dirtbags. Yeah, and I don't, how many women before one of the charmed ones could have blew the whistle on Harvey Weinstein? And like Matt Lauer and Charlie Rose and all the high profile, supposedly, and Bill Cosby. It's just unbelievable. Then I wonder where some of these big shot directors, why aren't they commenting on it? Clint Eastwood or Steven Spielberg, or especially like Ron Howard. You'd think he'd have a lot to say about this. I would like to hear a conversation between them three on a topic of that. The old casting couch. You know, I would love to have a woman co-host on this show. You know what? It's in my apartment. They would most likely be sitting on a couch. The way my studio is configured, I won't do that just because of that insinuation that something would go wrong. And I don't know, I might do it by phone if I ever get this Skype issue worked out. It's just kind of a real mess. But if Oprah knew all that, knew about Harvey long before, and then some other guy said something about that she wouldn't want stuff revealed about her yacht trips and stuff like that, what went on there. So it'd be interesting to see what Mr. Oprah had to say. Tell all book, Stedman. Yeah, Mr. Oprah. Not discounting what she's done, and she's got more money than God. All these people do. Doesn't give you the right to abuse people, sexually or otherwise, mentally. I don't know. It's a power trip. It's a power thing for a lot of these guys, I think. And not a sexual. Not Harvey Weinstein. Some of the things he did were so stupid, and I don't know what the appeal was, like having women watch him shower and jerking off into a potted plant. Oh boy, there's some don't know. These guys should, if there are rapes involved, these guys should go to prison for a long time. I've heard that there's a very long period where that they can be charged with rape. There's no statute of limitations. That's what I was thinking of. Or it's a really long time. So the ones that really were, they should come forward and put them away. So that's what I have to say about that. Yeah, if you engage in that type of behavior like that James Franco and all these women come out later and say what he did with them, and he wore one of those Time's Up pins, you stupid idiot. It's like, you gotta be a wallflower on this thing if you got a checkered past. Don't say anything. Don't give them any excuse to just tear you down. But he should be. He should be if he did do those things and wore that pin. In fact, maybe he shouldn't have been at the Golden Globes at all. Some of these people. Yeah, some of these big shot directors should come out. Maybe they have. I just haven't seen it. Like the Steven Spielberg, and Clint Eastwood, and Ron Howard. I'd like to be a fly on the wall if those three were having a conversation about all that. What can you say? It's like there are a lot of crappy people in the world. I wish there were a lot better ones being designed. So that is my take on the Golden Globe Awards. I don't know what made me do that story. Maybe I picked the wrong week to give up smoking pot. Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe next week. But this has been a great evening. During my previous place of employment, I abused my right knee, and now I'm paying for it. Pain in my knee, pain in the back of my knee, and I was having some tonight. So I used some icy hot cream, and after using that, thought I washed my hands thoroughly. But unfortunately, for some reason, maybe touching my eye or something, but a little bit of icy hot cream got into my eye. And let me tell you, that is not a pleasant experience at all. But next, I wanted to talk about blackout, going to be the title of this episode. There was one day that I was extremely frustrated that I thought my big screen, flat screen, had gone out and was blacked out, and I thought I was fried. But I finally found the solution for that. And then I went to Internet Explorer or Microsoft Edge and tried to use Netflix and Amazon Prime. And neither of those would work or would load the streaming service properly. I will say one thing about Amazon and Netflix, they do list their customer service phone numbers right when you do a search. The operators didn't seem to understand that I wasn't using an app. I just go to their website and run it through. See, I don't use a regular computer monitor. I use a flat screen, a little older one that actually has a VGA plug into it, an older deal. Now I use HDMI with my new Windows 10 computer. But then I found the solution for that. It's funny that Internet Explorer or Edge would not let me access Netflix or Amazon Prime, but Google Chrome would do it no problem. So I wasn't completely blacked out on my television viewing. And I broke down the other day and added, I was so bored. Here I thought I was finally giving up on my Star Trek viewing with all the negative things I've heard about the show Star Trek Discovery. But I'm going to pay the extra $9.99 for one show. After watching the first few episodes, there are some things that I agree with. Some of the scenes are filmed way too dark, and some of them are okay. I thought it was going to be worse than it was, actually, in some ways. And also the Klingon speech. It must be the way they design the nose deals for them. That's got to be hell to put that shit on day in, day out for those characters, and being able to try to breathe and learn that language. Marietta subtitles in English. I did read about a while back, there was a guy who taught his son from birth. He started him off on learning the Klingon language. As he grew older, nobody else used it, so he went back to English, and then I saw a picture of the kid, and I saw the reason why he gave up on using Klingon verbiage for anything. He was pictured with two women there, and speaking Klingon is not going to endear you to hanging out with girls. what else can I say about? I noticed that I was a fan of the show Longmire, which went through six seasons. If you want to binge a show, that one is really worthy of it. It's on Netflix. There are two redheads in the show. Unfortunately, one of them is not Jeri Ryan. The one of them was actually, she had been in a couple of the Longmire shows as the Ferg's girlfriend. And the other one has the metal strip around her forehead. I don't know what that is for. Was not explained. And a lot of things were not explained. And one major beef on this thing is for the first few episodes. And I know that some of these people really love the show and blah, blah, blah. But I didn't find anybody to be that likable. Except maybe the one that was on Longmire. That she was Michael Burnham's cabin mate on the Spaceship Discovery, and she actually talked to her like a regular person and a friend or whatever. But and I will say another thing, that's the first time I've heard the F word in a Star Trek series. It's what the advantages of being on a streaming service like Amazon Prime or Netflix. And I doubt if A&E or whatever. I never caught on to Longmire while it was on regular TV. But if I doubt the final scene with Walt and Vic could have passed muster with the censors then. Getting it on cable. Well, maybe it could have these days. I don't know. Now let's take a hard left turn and talk about this dude. I don't know if he deserves the Father of the Year award. What do you think? But supposedly, well, I guess there's video to prove it. This millionaire dad, he hired strippers for his son's 12th birthday party. Being a preteen is great, and you have nothing to worry about other than impressing your friends and getting good grades at school. Adulthood is a few good years off, and dating is something which is only just starting to cross your mind. But one 12-year-old is unlikely to be interested in girls his own age after his millionaire dad hired him strippers for his birthday. The age of consent varies around the world, but generally speaking, minors under the age of 16 are not allowed to legally have sex or engage in sexual behavior. While underage sexuality activity inevitably occurs, it's only a problem if one of the parties is an adult. Even in the context which minors are allowed to view is strictly monitored. If a movie is certified a PG-13 in the U.S., it will not contain any nudity, but it will likely have themes which parents of children under the age of 13 do not want them to see, such as drug use. And us adults know how immature we were as preteens. 12-year-olds are typically easily influenced and do not have a huge amount of foresight about the potential consequences of their actions. What's more is that they are only just starting puberty. But this dad has shocked the world after hiring strippers for his son's 12th birthday. Take a look. Well, I guess we can't do the video here, but I guess he was rather uncomfortable at times. Many parents worry about their children watching pornography because of the influence which it could have on the relationships they form as adults. So when the above clip of a 12-year-old dancing with strippers was posted to social media, people were outraged. The shocking incident took place in the U.S., and footage of it was uploaded to YouTube, where it is revealed in the video's description that the strippers had been hired for his son's 12th birthday party by his millionaire dad. The strippers were arranged as a surprise. According to Estrella TV, never heard of that, the women had been hired by the boy's dad with the intent of turning his son into a man. The video opens with the young boy sitting between the two strippers and being encouraged to grope the black-haired stripper's breasts. It then cuts to the boy being gyrated against by the black-haired woman. Clearly having had his shirt removed, as this happened, he is surrounded by partygoers who are recorded event on their mobile phones. The boy's dad is there the entire time, smiling and encouraging his son to act in a sexual manner with the strippers. And the 12-year-old laughs as he gropes the black-haired stripper's thong-clad behind. The footage has been viewed hundreds of thousands of times. While the response has been predominantly critical, some people praise the boy's dad for choosing to give him such an adult present. At one point, his face is even placed between the black-haired breasts as the blonde-haired stripper encouraged him to motorboat her. A viewer named Marco Cadorbi said his dad deserves a medal. A medal of improper parenting, I would think. Another viewer, Gomera, added, would it be the same reaction if it were a 12-year-old girl with male strippers? Interesting twist there. Alan Ancuna similarly wrote, what would happen if we would turn the situation around? A 12-year-old girl with two half-naked men dancing? Would it not be wrong? While the boy's dad might have thought he was using his money to make his son happy, giving him an experience that many other boys his age only dream of, it could have a number of detrimental effects for him in the future. In fact, that the boy's dad bought the strippers says a lot about his attitude to women, that they were playthings which exist solely to be objectified and gratified men, which is setting a dangerous example for his son. Now, if he begins to date a girl his own age, he may expect her to act in a similar manner to the strippers. The age of consent in the U.S. varies between 16 to 18, so we hope that the boy's dad is suitably reprimanded for his actions. And that was the end of that story. And what do you think about that? I hear one of the strippers walked out and because she said he had to at least, she didn't agree with him because he wasn't at least 13 years old. I know this, my dad never did anything like that for me. But would I just, yeah. I wonder what the dad thought if he'd have whipped out his junk and just started going at it with one of the strippers. Did he have condoms around the room or what? Whatever. Well, that's what he got for his 12th birthday party. No clowns or nothing like that. Or you don't think? Yeah, I don't think he's going to get Dad of the Year award for 2018. I don't know. Maybe it won't affect him at all. Most guys, affects men and women differently. So, yeah, I think some statute or something. If somebody recognizes a dad, might make a phone call on that to authorities just to see if there is a law on that. So, we will end that story. Ever heard of a snow taco? I really haven't either. But one North Carolina reporter says that eating a Waffle House waffle stuffed with snow is totally a thing in Georgia or something. And they show him eating a snow taco. And on Wednesday, North Carolina residents slowed to a bread and milk hoarding standstill as up to a foot of snow blanketed parts of the state. Schools were canceled, businesses were closed, and the North Carolina Department of Transportation politely asked everyone to stay home and wave at their local plow driver. And then they have a little videotape of Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone. I saw a picture of him recently. Boy, he's looking a little rough these days. Hopefully he gets on track. But despite the severe weather, WNCN reporter David Hurst still had to work and still had to stand on frozen Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, making polite conversation with his colleagues, who were in a heated studio. Near the end of his pre-dawn segment on Thursday morning, Hirsch produced a to-go waffle from Waffle House, and his anchor, Rochelle Edme, asked, "What is happening?" He folded it in half, filled it with snow from the sidewalk, and ate it on the air. "This is what we do down in Georgia on snow days," he said. "Waffle House is from Georgia. We've got a snow taco here." Hurst then put his microphone down and shoved his entire thing in his mouth, while Edme let out an audible "Ew!" Admittedly, I have no idea what the state of Georgia does on snow days, and the state's average snowfall ranges from 0 inches to 3.1 inches, depending on the region. But as West Virginia native and longtime North Carolina resident, I wondered why I knew absolutely nothing about snow tacos. Snow cream, yes. Snow tacos, no. Snow cream tacos, or whatever that is. I inquired on social media, reaching out to Southerners, Northerners, and even Scandinavians to find out whether they had seen, heard of, or tasted a wet waffle filled with a handful of nature's most photogenic frozen contaminants. One Rochester, New York resident said it sounded like something she'd given her former roommate's five-year-old. A West North Carolinian told me that if eating Tide Pods was a thing, then snow tacos could be a thing. And an Iceland Swede said that he couldn't remember the last time he saw an adult eat snow on purpose. No one had ever heard the phrase snow tacos. Well, if he was really had the cojones, he would have put some lutefisk in that taco, being half Norwegian. Some lutefisk. It has no butter, no salt, no pepper, no gravy. Just plain lutefisk. Then they'd have something to ew about. And this is because I think Hirsch just seemingly invented it when he said it's what they did down in Georgia. Probably because he didn't really want to be there where he was at the time. He meant that it happened one time when he was a teenager. And I didn't know eating Tide Pods or laundry detergent was a thing either. Maybe if they made a little, like a potato gun with Tide Pods, that would be a thing. But the first time I had a snow taco was when I was in high school in Alpharetta, Georgia. It was a rare snow day and we didn't have school, so my friends and I found ourselves at one of the few places in town that was open, Waffle House, he told Munchies. After we finished our meal, we went outside and I dared one of my friends who got to go waffle to put snow in it and eat it like a taco. He accepted and we dubbed the dare the Snow Taco Challenge. Hurst said that on Thursday morning, when he was standing outside a Waffle House on Franklin Street, the memory came back to him and he hopes it catches on. Since the first one was the pre-hashtag era, it didn't gain much traction, he said. I don't believe any of us made any more snow tacos. I haven't heard any other reference to it. And that's puzzling. Regardless, he said that it tastes better than you think, and he also recommended putting North Carolina's own Texas Pete hot sauce on it. Well, if you're looking to see somebody eat some hot food, all you need to do is type in Catfish Cooley on YouTube, and he eats the hottest pepper known to mankind, at least at this time, hotter than the ghost chili, he says, and he really looked it too. It's called the chocolate bootla pepper. He ate it minus the stem, and it's a big pepper too. But oh man, was he swearing and gagging and throwing up, and oh, just not good. Well, I think I'm going to call Black Alert on this podcast and post it to the interwebs for your podcast consideration. Oh, and I'd like to say again that you're listening to the 2017 Podcasting Peabody Award-winning show for comedy. And that was a great thrill. We shall strive on and hopefully talk to you next podcast. And if you listen by iTunes, leave a comment, give a rating. It's all appreciated. New listeners are welcome. Talk to you soon, folks. Bye-bye.